Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront talks to attorneys Marissa Grayson and Demetria Graves of The Elite Firm. They are the founders of the first female-led, full-service law and crisis management firm with a unique focus on African-American entertainers, professional athletes, and high-profile influencers. The ladies open up about the misuse of social media and weigh in on such hot topics as the Me Too movement and equal pay in Hollywood. The Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater is coming to the Fabulous Fox next month, and principal dancer Michael Jackson gives us a preview of what fans can expect. He also talks about appearing on this season's official Ailey poster and much more. Upfront teamed up with CAU TV this past weekend for the 26th annual Bounce Trumpet Awards. Yours truly was on the red carpet and got a chance to chat with this year's honorees and Trumpet Awards creator, Ms. Renona Clayton. We'll be hearing from her later on in the show. I'll also be playing music from Grammy-nominated jazz artists Cecile McLaurin-Savant, Raul Midon, and Christian McBride. But first, here's this week's casting buzz and entertainment news with Reva Blue.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Central Casting is looking for background actors for the new OWN series, Love Is. The TV project is looking for African-American men and women who look between the ages of 20 to 40, as well as an Asian woman who looks 20 and one who looks 50 years old. The show takes place in the 1990s, and the actor's hair and clothing style must fit that time period. If this is you, please submit a current photo and contact information to dumplin@centralcasting.com. with Love Is in the subject line of the email. In other related entertainment news, congratulations to singer and actress Mary J. Blige. She made history this week as the first person to ever receive an Academy Award nomination for her on-screen performance and for Best Original Song. The Grammy-winning vocalist is up for Best Supporting Actress Award for her work in Mudbound. Other nominees include Denzel Washington, Octavia Spencer, Jordan Peele, and Common. Check out WCLK.com for all the nominees. The 90th Academy Award will air on Sunday, March 4th, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on ABC. Don't forget to tune in for the 60th Grammy Awards tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. on CBS. Jazz nominees include Jasmia Horn, Joey DeFrancesco and The People, Fred Hirsch, Billy Childs, and Miguel Zanon. Go to WCLK.com to see all of the nominees. That's this week's Casting Buzz and Entertainment News. I'm Reva Blue.
Support for WCLK programming comes from Arts at Tech, presenting the Miguel Zanon Quartet. The evening will feature Zanon on saxophone, while the band performs a fusion of Latin and jazz music on January 27th at the First Center for the Arts. Ticket information is available at 404-894-9600 or online at arts.gatech.edu.
Hey, this is Jasmine Guy, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
There may be trouble ahead, but while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance, dance before the fiddlers have fled, before they ask us to pay the bill, and while we still have the chance. Let's face the music and dance.
My first guest is one half of the managing partners for The Elite Firm. The Los Angeles-based business is a full-service law and crisis management firm with a unique focus on African-American entertainers, professional athletes, and other high-profile influencers. I got a chance to chat with Grayson earlier this week about the inspiration behind the business and why it's so important for creatives to have legal counsel. Well, good morning, Marissa Grayson, and welcome to Upfront. How are you?
I am doing good. How are you?
I am excellent. I'm super excited to have you on the show. I'm really excited about what you ladies represent. I'm talking to Marissa Grayson from The Elite Firm. This is a full-service law and crisis management firm that has a sort of a unique focus on African-American celebrities, entertainers, professional athletes, and other high-profile influencers, and you all just really opened your firm on January the 5th?
Yes.
Yeah, let's talk about...
This was our first official day.
Yeah, let's talk about the inspiration behind you all getting together, and because you're partnered with your sister-in-law, Demetria Graves, so let's talk about the inspiration behind this law firm.
So Demetria and I, we're really good friends. We've been friends for probably about 5 years, and we both have our own, you know, private family law practices. And we've both represented celebrities in the past individually, and we decided to come together collectively to handle these larger high-profile cases just because we've seen so many high-profile individuals engaged in legal battles and making these completely avoidable but detrimental decisions outside of the courtroom, whether it be on social media or the interactions that they're having in text messages that end up on, you know, the gossip sites or whatever the case may be.
Right.
And these decisions ultimately not only have negative effects on their legal cases, but they also end up having lingering effects on their reputations and just on their lives in general. So we decided that we wanted to come together to create not only a law firm, but a full-service crisis management agency that tackles not only the legal stuff, but also the things that celebrities often go through behind the scenes that the media takes and creates a narrative. You know, sometimes it's in favor of, you know, our particular clients, and other times it's not. So we just wanted to be able to service them as a whole and make sure that they have everything that they need so that, you know, even after the legal case is done, they are good to go, you know, on the home front.
So let's talk about an example of, you know, when something, you know, when a tweet goes bad or when a hashtag, you know, goes bad with a celebrity and they need, you know, legal representation, or they've offended someone or you know, pissed someone off or a group off. How, let's talk about an example of that.
Oh, which example? There's so many cases that things just get out of control, right? So
okay.
We see celebrities. I'll say one of the poster children in my mind when it came to, you know, creating a firm like Elite was in particular when we saw the issues with Chris Brown and Karrueche
okay.
come to light on social media. And there was a lot of back and forth, and restraining orders were filed. And to me, you know, from my legal perspective, there were just so many things that were happening. And my initial mindset was like, how in the world is all of this happening? And he has a legal team. He has, I'm assuming he has some kind of team around him. You know, there's always people around celebrities. But there has to be, when you have celebrities and high profile individuals, I believe that there has to be an objective person on your team that you actually trust, that you'll listen to, and who is going to, you know, take the emotion out of whatever it is that you're going through and say, okay, no, this is not how we're going to do things. We cannot get on social media and say X, Y, and Z and then be surprised when things snowball out of out of that situation.
Right.
So we wanted to create a situation or a perspective for our clients so that they have a team. Like, we have service team, we have therapists, we have domestic violence instructors, we have domestic violence recovery specialists, we have a communication strategist that handles the, you know, the narrative that's created by the media and makes sure that any statements that our clients are making to the media serve them well. I mean, the list goes on and on. There are 11 of us total. So we just basically have an overall hands-on effect when it comes to our clients and their lives, not only, you know, the legal side, like I mentioned before, but just to make sure that things don't get out of hand all because they're emotional. Because just like us, they're human beings.
Yeah.
So just because they're celebrities doesn't mean that, you know, they're not going to get angry and frustrated and, you know, want to lash out and go off on somebody and, you know.
Yeah. Now, I have to ask you, at what point, so, you know, there may be someone that's looking to launch, you know, an acting career or a singing career. At what point should a creative, I'll just say, for lack of better words, seek legal representation? Do they do this at the very, very beginning of their career, or do they do this as they're starting to gain, you know, some momentum with their name? At what point do they start, you know, would they bring you guys on board?
Well, I think it depends. Our goal is for everyone to decide to be proactive because, you know, a lot of times when people finally come to us, it's in the middle of a mess. So, all right, if you get, you know, a good team behind you at the outset of your career, right before your name blows up or when you start to see the momentum that's coming, you know, along with your brand, I think that that's when it's important not only to have, you know, legal representation to guide you when it comes to, you know, the way that your contracts are drafted and the decisions that you make as far as your business and your brand, but also to make sure that you have sound legal advice on a consistent basis on all of the aspects of things that come, you know, come along with the territory of being celebrity, whether that be, you know, a particular relationship that you're in, children that you have, you know, out of your relationships. There are just so many things that come up, you know, on a day-to-day basis, arguments that you get in that turn into, you know, criminal charges. Like, there's so many things and so many people that can come after you for no reason because you're a celebrity or right. You're becoming one, and people see dollar signs. They, you know, everyone's sue happy, so they want to file lawsuits for the smallest things. So it's just important, you know, to have people on your team that know your business, know your brand, know you as an individual and are professionals, but, you know, care about you as an individual and what you are doing to make sure that you're not having all of these legal problems, you know, as you continue to progress in your career.
Marissa Grayson, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to Upfront. Again, that is Marissa Grayson from the Elite Firm. This is a full-service law and crisis firm that focuses on African-American celebrities and entertainments and professional athletes. Again, what we like to do here on Upfront is to not only talk to the folks that are in front of the camera, but we also like to talk to the folks that I call your behind-the-scenes rock stars and superstars that really kind of keep this thing, you know, going. You're definitely a part of that, and what you ladies are doing is just amazing and awesome. And best of luck to you for 2018.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And thank you for having me.
Uno, dos, tres, cuatro.
Vapor trails and ticket sales from Budapest to Bombay. Crazy lines and neon signs, and everybody's willing to pay. Video streams and magazines where they all got something to say. But I stand alone without a clone, and I'm more than just okay. I'm badass, badass, badass and blind.
This is Omar Dorsey, a.k.a. Hollywood of Queen Sugar, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
My next guest is one of Alvin Ailey's principal dancers for the 2018 season. I'm talking about none other than Michael Jackson. The New Orleans-bred performer is the featured dancer on this year's coveted Ailey poster and talked to Upfront about being selected. He also gives us a preview of what's to come for their Atlanta engagement and much more. Well, good morning, Michael Jackson, and welcome to Upfront. How are you?
I am blessed. I'm great. How are you?
I'm so excited to be talking to you. I've been a fan. I've been following you on Instagram. When I saw the new Ailey poster for this year, I was like, oh my God, who's this?
That was my feeling too when I saw it. That was my feeling, too, when I thought, oh,
yeah.
Who is
this? Right. But before we get into that, you have such an iconic name already coming out of the gate, Michael Jackson. Did you know as a kid, you know, because you're from New Orleans, right?
I am originally, yeah.
Yeah. Did you always want to be in the limelight? I mean, having a name like Michael Jackson, I mean, you've got to be a star. So did you always want to be a dancer?
I didn't. I was born in New Orleans, like I said, and I didn't really want to be a dancer. I was very scholarly, and I used to get picked on my name. You know, Michael Jackson, you know, I used to get picked. You know, kids are cruel. And then I moved to Washington, D.C., and I went to high school at Duke Ellington School of the Arts, and that's when I started dancing. And then my name just kind of became a good thing all of a sudden. You know, like, people remembered me. Like, even if I didn't dance, people would just come up to me and ask me about my name. Yes, jokes that I've all heard before. I've heard all of the Michael Jackson jokes. But, yeah, that's what happened, yeah.
Wow. Now, you started dance pretty late as a teen, correct? So.
Yeah, at 14, yeah.
Yeah, so what was that? What was the deciding factor to go from being, you know, this, like you said, kind of behind-the-scenes scholarly guy to, wow, here I am, you know, chest out, you know, legs out, you know, just ready to just, you know, bust out. What was the what was the determining factor?
I think my first time dancing, like at the audition, I I felt like I was a kid. Like, I felt like I was playing. Like, I'm like, this cannot be taken serious. Like, people don't do this for a living. And then I saw a performance, and I feel like I tell it to everyone. I feel like I fell in love with it as I learned it. And it just kind of chose me. Like, it just, dance chose me, and I fell in love with it as I learned it.
Wow. Now, you've got an opportunity to perform with a number of other reputable dance companies, Phil Danko, which I've had an opportunity to see, as well as the iconic Dance Theater of Harlem. How did they prepare you for A-Lee? Because I hear all the time from other dancers that, man, it is nothing like dancing for Alvin A-Lee American Dance Theater.
Yeah, I think they just being Black companies, Black, you know, African-American-based companies, I feel like that prepared me in some way, but also they share a lot of like similar choreographers, like Tally Beatty and Mr. Battle, even Robert Battle. A lot of even some of them have Mr. Ailey work, and I think it's just kind of always a connection that's been between them. And I think in a way it prepared me. Nothing prepared me for the schedule. I think that's the most difficult thing with Ailey. We're on such a high level that the schedule is something to take, a look at as a professional that you really don't get to experience before in any other company. But I think the similar qualities are definitely the choreographers and the history, definitely. Right. African-American history, definitely.
Okay. So let's go back to you being on this year's official poster. How do they determine that? I mean, is it because each year I know that it changes. I mean, sometimes you'll have a young lady that's representing the company, and then sometimes, you know, you'll have a guy. So how were you chosen for this year's poster, I'll say?
Well, they usually choose a group of dancers, and they invite them. It's an invitation only situation, and they invite a group of dancers to the studio to shoot. And you really don't know if you're going to be chosen. Everyone, you kind of have, they kind of just kind of tell you what to do. You have some trio, some, you know, a group, but everyone kind of gets an opportunity to have a solo shot. So you don't really know what they're going to choose. And we had started international tour, and our first stop was Paris. We go to Paris like every other year. And the first week, Mr. Battle, our director, Robert Battle, called me into the office, and he's really chill. So we were just kind of talking, and he was looking at his phone the whole time. And I'm like, why is he talking to me, like not looking at me? But we're having full conversation. And then in the middle of his sentence, he just turned his phone to me, and it was my picture on his phone. And I'm like, I like covered my mouth. I couldn't talk. It was silent for like 30 seconds. He was just looking at me, and I was just covering my mouth, like stillness in the room. And then that's how I found out. Yeah, that was first week of Paris, maybe first or second week of Paris. Yeah.
Wow. So was that what that particular image of you, was that just you just being you, or did they say, hey, we want to have you jumping, you know, leaping in the air like that? How did that, because it's a very powerful photo.
Oh, thank you. I think it's a little bit of both, you know. As you can tell from my Instagram, I have worked with some photographers, and I think the reason why I love photography is that collaboration aspect of it, that, you know, the photographer gets the input and the dancer subject gets the input as well, and you kind of create something magical. And what was great was that I worked for this organization. You know, Alvin Ailey has such a great rapport and name, and it was just great to create something beautiful that can also inspire more. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about the Atlanta engagement. You guys are going to be here February the 14th through the 18th at the Fabulous Fox. And we are so, you know, we look forward to this every year. It's like everybody, you know, for me, it's always like, okay, I got to get my body ready just to go see you guys perform. Because I don't want to feel out of place. It's like you go there and it's like, look, if your body's not together, then, you know, it's like you can't come and see us perform. So, yeah. But let's talk about this. You guys have Twyla Tharp's The Golden Section, The Hunt, which is always a favorite here in Atlanta, Revolution Dream, Hope Boykin did an amazing job last year, but you guys are bringing that back, Shining Star, and Stack Up. What's one of your favorites to perform out of the ones that I mentioned?
I would say Stack Up, because like you said before, about my other companies and experience, it's choreographed by Tally Beatty, and that's a choreographer that I worked with, well, a choreographer that I've done in my early career.
Okay.
And the music is Earth, Wind, and Fire, and it's like a turn-up. It's such a turn-up on the stage, and we kind of get to be in characters, and I think that's a really great thing, that theater aspect and mixing with dance. It's kind of great that we get to do that and have the opportunity to do it. So it just feels like fun. Stack Up is definitely one of my favorites.
Yeah. So, I have to ask you, Michael, jazz has always been such an important part of an Ailey performance. I think I learned a lot about jazz in going to some of the shows. I think my very first show was the tribute to Duke Ellington, I think, that you guys do, which was amazing. So are we going to have some more of that jazz in the performance when you guys are playing here at the Fabulous Fox?
Yes, we will. We definitely will. We actually have two special nights this year. A night of love, and it's kind of like an ode to duets, love duets. It's a special program.
Okay.
And on it is a Stack Up, like we talked about before, and a work by Mr. Battle. It's called Ella, and it's by music by Ella Fitzgerald.
Okay.
And it's amazing. We also have Inside, and that's by Nina Simone. We also have another night, an MLK night, which is on Friday the 16th, and it's Revolution Dream, which is about Dr. Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
And the music is it's amazing, amazing jazz music. It's amazing.
Wow. Okay. Wow. You said Nina Simone, and my eyes just got really, really big. So, wow. Okay.
Yes, I know. You know, we love Nina. Yeah.
And we love her here, too, at WCLK. So that is going to be amazing. So let's go back to, again, you starting your career sort of late in life. You started, you know, as a late teen. A lot of times kids or your performers start at a very young age. So for anyone that may be out there that's listening that, you know, is kind of like, hey, I might be a little too old to dance. What advice would you give for that person?
I would say that you don't know until you try. I think nowadays dance is everywhere. You know, when I was younger, dance wasn't as broad as it was now, and I feel like there are so many ways now to get moving. And you can start in the gym, and you can, you know, grow as you may, but starting small, starting somewhere is important, and it pays off. It really does.
Yeah.
No matter what age.
Well, Michael Jackson, thank you so much for being a guest on Upfront. Again, we look forward to you guys coming to the Fabulous Fox February the 14th through the 18th. We're talking about the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater. You guys are on your national tour for the new year, new season, and can't wait to see you guys when you come through town.
Thank you, Ray. Thank you so much.
The WCLK Jazz Calendar is made possible by support from the Sweet Food Lounge. Tonight, vocalist Jasmia Horn plays the Atlanta Jazz Festival's Emerging Jazz Icon Series at the Woodruff Arts Center. The Miguel Zenon Quartet plays Georgia Tech's First Center for the Arts on Saturday, January 27th, with a pre-show conversation featuring WCLK's Jay Edwards. Juan DeMarcos and the Afro-Cuban All-Stars play the Rialto Center for the Arts at Georgia State on Saturday, February 3rd. Vocalist Rachelle Farrell and Jeffrey Osborne celebrate Valentine's Day on Saturday, February 10th at the Fox Theater. And finally, Avery Sunshine, Layla Hathaway, Robert Glasper, and more are performing as part of the 2018 St. Lucia Jazz Festival, May 6th through the 13th. Also, WCLK's Mark Angel will be hosting the Contemporary Jazz Showcase from the festival. Information on travel packages are available at LT Travel Connections at 770-323-7118. That's today's Jazz Calendar. For these and more live jazz performances, log on to WCLK.com and check out the events calendar. I'm Riva Blue.
Hi, this is Iyanla Van Zandt, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
Upfront teamed up with CAU-TV this past weekend to cover the 26th annual Bounce Trumpet Awards. I had a blast chatting with the honorees, presenters, and performers for a televised red carpet special that will air in February. Here's what Trumpet Awards founder Zenona Clayton had to say about why she continues to celebrate African-American achievement.
So we are talking to the one and only Miss Zenona Clayton. 26 years. This is now on Bounce TV. Does this ever get old for you?
Oh, no, because every moment we come here to celebrate, we're learning something about our people.
Catch their eyes.
Facts and figures and contributions that people just don't know. And so it's, to me, it's an educational opportunity. Now, we add fun to it, but the bottom line is we're learning a lot.
Now, this partnership with Bounce TV, how has that been so far?
Oh, it's been wonderful. They, as a matter of fact, it's not just a partnership. They bought the show last year, and so I'm here to support it and be involved in it as much as I can. But what I like about it is that the moments continue. The moments of education are still going.
Well, thank you so much and congratulations.
Stay locked to Upfront as I'll be sharing more information about our Red Carpet Bounce Trumpet Award special in the coming weeks. Last segment features the other half of the elite agency, Demetria Graves. The entertainment lawyer opens up about some of the pitfalls of social media. She also gives her opinion about the recent Hollywood sexual harassment cases, as well as celebrity prenups and much more. Well, good morning, Demetria Graves, and welcome to Upfront. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. You're actually our part two of the conversation that we've been having about entertainment and law and things of that nature. But you're also the other half of the elite firm. Again, you're a full service law firm and crisis management agency out of Los Angeles. And I was talking to, you know, Marissa earlier about the inspiration behind why you all decided to create this law firm and, you know, when should someone get representation. But I kind of want to talk to you about some of the juicier things that we see in media and, you know, and on some of the gossip websites and things of that nature. So got to ask, to prenup or not to prenup?
That's a very popular question, right? And I guess it depends on who you ask. If you're the party with the assets and what you feel assets to protect, then of course you're going to want to at least have the conversation about a prenup in terms of what you're bringing in, what you're willing to share, and what you kind of want to keep as your own. And there are specific ways to do that. And if you're the party that doesn't have much coming into the marriage, then, you know, you might not want to have that conversation. And then, of course, nowadays, both parties might have property and businesses and that sort of thing that they want to protect. I think it's a conversation that all couples should have, just so each couple, each party knows, okay, this is what's important to me, this is what's important to you, so you can kind of get that out of the way and there's not a big elephant in the room.
Right. So let's talk about this whole, you know, we've had over the last couple of months all of these accusations that have come out about all of these Hollywood executives, filmmakers, actors in terms of women being sexually harassed. You had Terry Crews, who had the who was also harassed as well. Has that been keeping you all busy? Have you had to, you know, have you had to deal with some of those situations? Maybe not that we've not heard about, but have you had to deal with this, you know, idea of people are now starting to say, hey, I've been harassed, or this is, you know, this has happened to me.
Right. It's a little outside of the scope of what Marissa and I handle.
Okay.
But we have been following the stories, and we must say, you know, it's quite unfortunate that so many people have experienced such abuse in the industry. But we are just so happy that people are speaking out, and it's causing the industry to look at it in a different way and most likely put parameters in place so this doesn't happen in the future.
Okay. We mentioned crisis management. So you guys are kind of like Johnny Cochran and Olivia Pope all rolled into one, right? So how do you assist your clients through crisis management?
Well, I think what we see more and more of today is the social media aspect of legal cases, which can definitely hurt our clients when they're going through their legal matters and, of course, outside of that. So we try to get ahead of that. When they come to us, a lot of times they're very emotional, they're upset. So we try to get ahead of that and say, okay, before we start posting things or before we start giving interviews about what's going on, let's talk about how we're going to present that to the world.
Okay. Yeah, Marissa was talking about that. Yeah.
Right. That way we don't have battles going back and forth on social media, you know, people waking us up in the middle of the night because of what's going on. So we try to get ahead of that.
Okay.
We try to actually keep our clients from, you know, that type of discussion, especially during the case, until we can get things kind of resolved. And then we can talk about if you want to do a post interview or something later, we can do that. And so we have a communication specialist that helps us with that and tells us when's the appropriate time to make a statement if we actually need to make one.
Okay.
So we actually try to start in the beginning so we don't have those problems.
Yeah. Now let's go into the, I guess with the entire Me Too movement has also now come the talk of equal pay. You know, Monique has come out recently about not, you know, receiving equal pay as her male counterparts for a Netflix series or special, I think, that they're working on. She was referring to Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle. And then she also mentioned Amy Schumer getting, you know, additional money. How, what's your take on that particular situation? And how would you as an entertainment attorney sort of work your magic, I should say?
You know, that's a very interesting topic. I don't know if Netflix is necessarily happy with the way Monique is speaking out, but it is what it is. And if she feels she's entitled to a certain amount of money, I think she has the right to be heard. Again, if this is the right way to do it, I'm not sure.
Right.
But she seems to feel that that's the way to do it. However, I would like to know how Netflix actually selects how they're going to pay, you know, their talent, because I think that really makes a difference here. Is it based on, you know, how popular the artist is now? Like, how are they structuring their payments so we know, okay, this is kind of why they offered this, or can we negotiate this up, or is there something she can get on the back end? So I think there's a discussion to be had about how Netflix reached that number. I can't see if it's wrong or if it's not, because I'm not quite sure of how Netflix came to that figure.
Okay.
But again, this goes back to our crisis management. Is that the best way to get the message out? I don't know.
Right.
I don't know if she does actually want to do something with Netflix. Does this actually ruin her chances in the future? I don't know.
Okay.
But there's definitely a conversation to be had. She feels a certain way about it. It seems like Wanda Sykes came out and supported her.
Right.
So
right.
There might be something to that in terms of how Netflix is deciding to pay their talent. You know, Wanda Sykes is very, very popular. Monique at some point was very popular. I don't know, you know, if that stands true now. So I don't know if that has something to do with it. But there's definitely a conversation to be had there. And Monique clearly feels a certain way about it. So she has the right to be heard.
Well, I want to ask a question for some of those creatives out there, those that, you know, get behind the pen and paper and put their stories out there. They've got these film projects or they've got television projects. Let's talk about the importance of making sure that, OK, yeah, you've got this idea, but if someone overhears it and takes it and you haven't, you know, done the copywriting and all that kind of stuff, that it's no longer yours, correct?
Yikes. I mean, technically, yes. Right? You
okay.
Can't just go and just tell the world what you're doing, what you're working on, all that. That's what we like to do is, you know, run our mouths about what we're doing. So the best bet in that situation would be to keep it to your heart. But if for some reason it does get out, but you can still show that, you know, this person knew it was yours or something along those lines, then there might be a case. But for the most part, you're right. If you don't protect your rights, and legally protect your rights, then you might have an issue down the road.
Okay. Before I let you go, what are some quick tips or some things, some pitfalls that sometimes people may fall into that they may not necessarily be thinking about, you know, as they're launching out into their career as a singer or as an actor or even as a creative, as a writer or producer? What are some things that you all may have run into that people didn't necessarily think about when they were creating and putting things together?
Well, I would go back to what you just said, right? Talking too much too soon.
Okay.
Telling too many people your dreams and your aspirations or what's to come without inking it, you know, on paper and making sure that it's actually in the process to do what you needed to do. And also not having professionals before you even sign a contract or business deals or, you know, whatever you're doing, making sure someone is looking at those business deals and see what you're getting yourself into. A lot of people are still in this day and age signing their lives away and don't even know it. And then my major pet peeve, if you haven't figured that out by now, is talking too much on social media.
Yeah.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
There's just certain things we just shouldn't put out there. And I think we've all been guilty of that at some point. But I think you do need someone in your corner to say, hey, look, you're trying to get this project done. Why don't we stay away from this? Or if we're going to talk, let's do this. I think that's the three biggest things that I've seen come up over and over again.
Well, Demetria Graves, thank you so much for stopping by and talking to us here at Upfront. Again, you represent the Elite Firm. It's a full-service firm and crisis management agency housed out of Los Angeles. You guys are all female-led, African-American female-led, and one of the only agencies like that in the country, correct?
That is correct.
Yeah.
That is correct. And thank you so much for having both of us on your show. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, and have an amazing 2018.
Thank you. You do the same.
Thank you so much for listening to today's show. I'd really like to thank all of my special guests, Marissa Grayson, Demetria Graves, Michael Jackson, and Zernona Clayton. I would also like to thank my engineer, Mark Angel, and you. Please join us next Saturday, February 2nd at 9 a.m. for another exciting edition of Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry. Happy Saturday, Atlanta. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.